Heavenly Father, you have shown us the wondrous works and glorious deeds in your steadfast promises. Father, we thank you that as your people, we may have your word open to us this morning. You have seen us as we prepare to come into your presence this morning. We ask that we may be encouraged by your word, but also in this Advent week, we may stand in awe of the great gift we received, a way out of our sinfulness, a new hope giving our life meaning and joy. You were faithful to your promise and sent your Son in human form to save us. May we hang on to this great gift in our lives, challenges, and joys. As we gather today, may we be encouraged as your people, that our praise and honor may also spill out in our relationships with each other. Grant us grace that we may be a hand and a foot to each other. As children, as adults, we may respect and honor the authorities that you have placed over us. May our hearts and minds be attentive to your word as we hear it this morning, praying this in humbleness and in the knowledge that we are able to come before you in prayer. You have asked us to do this, and we do this in and through the saving hope of our mediator and Savior, Christ Jesus. Amen. Our reading this morning comes from Luke 2, the verses 1 to 7, and Isaiah 10, the verse 33 to 11, verse 16. Now, after reading God's word, we will respond with the singing of hymn 19, the verses 1, 3, and 4. Luke 2, the verses 1 to 7, God's word as follows. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And Isaiah 10, the verse starting at verse 33. See, the Lord Almighty, will lop off the boughs with great power. The lofty trees will be felled. The tall ones will be brought low. He will cut down the forest thickets with an axe. Lebanon will fall before the mighty one. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. The Spirit of wisdom and of understanding. The Spirit of counsel and of power. The Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes, or decide by what he hears with his ears. But with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist. The wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat, the calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear, Their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the hole of the cobra, and the young child will put his hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. In that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples. The nations will rally to him, and his place of rest will be glorious. In that day, the Lord will reach out his hand a second time to reclaim the remnant that is left of his people from Assyria, from Lower Egypt, from Upper Egypt, from Cush, from Elam, from Babylon, from Hamath, and from the islands of the sea. He will raise a banner for the nations and gather the exiles of Israel. He will assemble the scattered people of Judah from the four quarters of the earth. Text this morning is taken from Isaiah 11, verse 1. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Canadian Constitution, 1867, by which the Dominion of Canada was born, says that it is the duty of Parliament to make laws for peace, order, and good government of Canada. Peace, order, and good government. These are good things. The Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedoms, 1982, begins by stating that Canada is founded upon principles that recognize the supremacy of God and the rule of law. Recognition of the supremacy of God and the rule of law, those two are good things. How much of these good things do we see in our country? No, it's not all bad, but it is not that great either. How much peace, order, and good government do we see? Does the Charter play more than just lip service to the supremacy of God? What law were they thinking of when they said that we recognize the rule of the law? The law of God or the law of man? The United Nations was formed in 1948. And after two devastating world wars, the UN was going to ensure that the rule of law was employed throughout the world. It was going to bring about peace through the world. It was going to bring about the end of bad government. In fact, the UN has been completely ineffective in establishing peace and good government in the world. But a lack of peace and good government is nothing new. It was there in the time of the prophet Isaiah, who prophesied during the reign of Ahaz, king of Judah. Religiously, King Ahaz was an evil king. He participated in idolatry practices. Politically, he was foolish. During his reign, Syria and Israel joined forces to attack Jerusalem. The prophet Isaiah told Ahaz to stand strong in faith in the Lord, the God of the Jews. But Ahaz refused the advice and appealed for help from the king of Assyria. This was a disaster for Judah, politically and religiously. Ahaz and Judah ended up surrendering to Assyria. Judah ended up as a vassal state of Assyria. Ahaz had a pagan altar placed in God's temple. The slide of the kings of Judah after Ahaz continued. There were a couple good kings yet, Hezekiah, Josiah, but mostly they were corrupt. They led the people down in a death spiral, politically and religiously, until they went into exile in Babylon. The misery that began at the hand of Assyria was completed some 140 years later by Babylon. The house of David ended up in exile in Babylon, an ignoble end to a powerful dynasty that had begun more than 400 years earlier. Nothing left but a stump. That's what Isaiah prophesied during the reign of Ahaz. The powerful dynasty of Ahaz belonged to the house of David would end up as a dead stump. I'm going to speak to you this morning about that stump and about how a shoot came from that stump, about how even a fruit-bearing branch came from that stump. And I'm going to speak about the deep and excellent roots of that stump. Isaiah called the stump of the David dynasty the stump of Jesse. Jesse was David's father. Jesse was a farmer who lived in the little town of Bethlehem. Jesse was a nobody who lived in a small town. The mighty house of David would be reduced to nothing. Right back to what it was before Samuel came and anointed David, Jesse's son. Right back to obscurity, to a largely unknown farmer living in a small town. And yet, at the same time, he spoke about the judgment that would come upon the house of David for its false religion and bad government. The prophet Isaiah spoke the message of hope. A shoot will come from the stump of Jesse. You know how that happens sometimes. A tree is cut down, and all that is left is a stump. But then one day you see life from that stump, and a shoot begins to grow. What a contrast with Assyria. God was going to punish Assyria. And if you read through chapter 10, you see that God used Assyria as a club in his hand to punish his idolatrous people. But Assyria had become very conceited and arrogant. Assyria's king had boasted about how he had destroyed many nations by his own power and strength. For his ungodly motive, God was going to punish Assyria. And if we read in chapter 10, the verses 12 to 13, it says, when the Lord has finished all his work against Mount Zion and Jerusalem, he will say, I will punish the king of Assyria for the willful pride of his heart and the haughty look in his eyes. For he says, by the strength of my hand I have done this, and by my wisdom, because I have understanding, I remove the boundaries of nations, I plunder their treasures, like a mighty one, I subdued their kings. God was going to chop Assyria down like you chop down a forest of trees, as we read in chapter 10, the verses 33 to 34. Now see the difference between the dynasty of the Assyrian king and his nation on the one hand, and on the other hand, the dynasty of the Davidic king and Judah. The fallen Assyrian dynasty and nation would look like a forest of trees that has been felled, as if the mighty cedars of Lebanon had been felled. Over in Judah, in Bethlehem, there will be that one lonely stump, Jesse's stump. But a shoot will emerge from it, new life. The Assyrian nation lies dead with no hope of life. That's what happened to the proud nations of the world. But Jesse's stump sprouts new life. Who is that shoot? It is the Lord Jesus Christ, whom God gives to his people, to his church. This prophecy that a shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse was fulfilled on the day we commemorate this Saturday, the day of Christ's birth. Why did Isaiah say that the Messiah would come from the stump of Jesse rather than the stump of David? Why does the prophecy go back beyond David to David's father? For two reasons. Our Lord Jesus Christ starts all over. He goes back to the obscurity of Jesse. The Lord Jesus was born in obscurity, born in that little town of Bethlehem, born to a young woman who was betrothed to Joseph. Joseph was of the lineage of David, but he was a nobody, a humble carpenter practicing his trade in Nazareth, a remote town in Galilee. This was a part of Christ's humiliation. The second reason is because Jesus Christ came not just as a successor to David. He would not be another disappointing descendant of David. He would rather be another David. Throughout the books of the kings are compared to King David. He was the man after God's heart. He was the greatest king who established Israel in the land. He was the man who brought about peace and good government. He ruled over God's people as a good shepherd. He established righteousness, fairness, and equity in the land. Jesus Christ, as the new King David, would do the same, but even better. The second part of our text says that from Jesse's roots, a branch will bear fruit. The Hebrew word for branch is the word for a more mature shoot. The word comes from the Hebrew word to be green, fresh and green. When a shoot begins to grow it can become a young sapling. This also refers to Christ. He grew up like a tender shoot and bore fruit. The fruit he bore are the things the rest of chapter 11 speaks of. It speaks of wisdom. It speaks of understanding, his counsel, his knowledge. He is our great teacher who teaches us the wisdom and the knowledge of God. He is the great judge who judges uprightly. He is the great king who establishes a peaceful kingdom for all his people to live in. He is the great shepherd who gathers his sheep from all nations and all peoples. Christ is the shoot that comes from the root, from the stump of Jesse. Even the branch, the good fruit-bearing sapling that comes up from the roots of Jesse. But there is one very important thing we must notice in this text. That is, that Jesus Christ is also the root. In 11 verse 10, he is called the root of Jesse. So what do we have? Christ comes from the root, which is Jesse, but at the same time, he is the root of Jesse. Jesse is rooted in him. How can that be? How can Christ both come from Jesse and be the one from whom Jesse comes? For that is what we have. Christ is both the root of Jesse and the shoot and the branch that comes forth from Jesse. The New Testament speaks about how Christ is the root of Jesse. The Apostle Paul, speaking very obviously about Christ, calls him the root of Jesse in Romans 15, verse 12. And again, Isaiah says, and this is a quote from Romans 15, and again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will spring up, one who will arise to rule over the nations. The Gentiles will hope for him. We read something similar in Revelations, Revelations 5, verse 5. The lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has triumphed. And then in Revelations 22, the verses 16, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright morning star. King David, Father Jesse, are rooted in Christ. Jesse's role in redemptive history is rooted in the original promise of Christ the Savior. In Genesis 3, verse 15, where God promised this, I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel. There and then, right at the beginning, after man fell into sin, God promised that he would send a mighty Savior to destroy Satan and all the powers of the evil one. A mighty king to deliver God's people from the evil one. Father Jesse, as the father of a dynasty of kings, was rooted in that promise of the Christ. David, as the greatest king who ever lived, was rooted in the promise of that Christ. Christ was the root of Jesse, the root of David. Jesse and David were nothing without Christ. They were also rooted in Christ because our Lord Jesus Christ has his existence from eternity. He is the eternal Son of God who took upon our human nature on himself to deliver us from our sins and from the evil one. Christ Jesus is both root and shoot. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end, the author and perfecter of our faith. This week, we commemorate his birth. He was born to suffer and to die for us under the wrath of God. In chapter 53, Isaiah comes back to the shoot and root imagery. There he said that the Messiah would grow up before God like a tender shoot, like a root out of dry ground. He would be pierced on the cross for our transgressions. He would be crushed for our iniquities. By bearing our punishment, he would bring about for us peace, the peaceable kingdom. Today, we experience everything from reasonable government to bad government. The supremacy of God is not respected in our society, not at all. Peace, order, good government, the rule of law, it remains an elusive dream. It eludes us here in Canada. It eludes us so much, people living in countries controlled by communists and Muslims. But it will not elude us forever. Because haven't you heard? The Lord Jesus Christ was born, a mighty king, a king better than David, a king of whom David was a very pale and poor imitation and foreshadow. A king was born in the city of David. He is Christ the King. He has progressed from cradle to the cross, from the cross to the crown. Today, he is seated at the right hand of God, ruling over all things. He will come again as mighty king to establish perfectly his kingdom on earth, a peaceful kingdom, a kingdom of righteousness, of beauty, of glory. The very last words he spoke to us in Scripture are these words, "I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright morning star. I am coming soon." Did you hear that? This week, we commemorate his first coming, his incarnation, but we await his final coming. We hold on to that promise of him who already once came. We are the people who hold on to that promise that he is coming again, even that he is coming soon. Amen. In response to the sermon, let us sing hymn 16, all verses.